Welcome back to the program. You're listening to Eco Talk. And if you listen to this program regularly, and we hope that you do, you know that chemicals and toxins appear in products around our household that should never be there in the first place. Awareness is beginning to really take hold, and there's even a little progress to report in terms of reducing the toxics in some common products like computers and cosmetics and toys. Well, there's some new action on the part of companies as they face shareholder resolutions about toxics, the number jumping from 3 in 2004 and 5 to 17 in the year 2006 to 7. We're pleased to welcome Tim Little to the program. He's executive director of the Rose Foundation for Communities and the Environment based in the Bay Area. He is a co-author of the just released 52-page report called Fiduciary Guide to Toxic Chemical Risk, and he's going to be talking about the results and also what they're going to be doing with them. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Betsy. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this report is being released by the Investor Environmental Health Network.
Yes, that's right. The Investor Environmental Health Network is a new organization, and it's a collaboration at this point of 20 institutional investors with combined assets totaling $22 billion. That number is continuing to grow as more and more investors realize that environmental health is a serious business factor, and it's something they need to respond to.
Now, there's been concern among those of us plugged in about, you know, the environmental and health impacts, but I guess when you quantify it in terms of financial risk, people listen. People who need to know listen.
You come up with some big numbers. There was a national study recently that said that the environmentally attributable costs of diseases and disabilities in American children were $55 billion annually. And we've looked at this in California, and for example, in California, neurobehavioral disorders in children and adults that are environmentally attributable, we've estimated that that's about $7 billion.
Now,
we start talking about billion with a B. We're talking real money, and that's something that investors are concerned about.
Is this just another layer, a deeper layer, if you will, of social responsible investing?
Well, I actually consider it financially responsible investing because these environmental issues are value drivers, both positive and negative. When you have companies like, for example, Sony, that didn't pay attention to the fact that the EU had banned chemicals like cadmium in certain products, and they had a big Christmas release of the PlayStation a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden they couldn't release it in the Netherlands, and it cost them $150 million. They weren't paying attention. That cost them a lot of money, and that goes to the bottom line. We have issues like DuPont and Teflon that was in the news a lot over the last few months, and it turns out that Teflon, which is the ingredient not only in nonstick cookware, but it's used in carpets for stain resistance. It can be used in auto upholstery for stain resistance. They even put it in the liners of fast food containers so the food doesn't stick to it. DuPont had information about the toxicity back in the early 80s.
You know, public awareness is rising. Is there enough public interest at this point in our evolution, do you think, to actually put pressure on these companies to adjust their investment patterns and their practices?
Well, I think there's a lot of public interest. I mean, last year California passed a right-to-know law about what's in cosmetics, and you know, people are very concerned about their health, and they want information. You know, a couple of years ago, nobody knew what trans fat was, and now everybody knows to look for that on the label. You know, that's bad for your health.
Thanks to our friend Stephen Joseph, who started that movement single-handedly. I love that story because it's about what a difference one person can make, one angry person.
Well, I mean, I think investors are getting angry, too. Investors are asking a lot of questions about what does management know about toxic chemicals and when did they know it. But, you know, it's also, I don't want to just focus on the negative. I mean, we see a lot of positive stories. Kaiser, which is one of the biggest health care organizations in the country, they've set out a new policy to reduce or eliminate all hazards to human health from chemicals that are used in health care. And they've been working on green building techniques to get manufacturers to produce less toxic materials, phasing out PVC things, eliminating mercury, removing things called phthalates, which are like go into the chemistry, but they're nasty toxics and they're in an awful lot of plastic things. And
I once heard someone think that word was pronounced phthalates. Not something
however
to drink.
You pronounce it, it's not good for you to eat it or to ingest it in any way. For example, a kid, phthalates are a plasticizer they're often used in children's toys. And so, you know, a small child puts the toy in his or her mouth and sucks on it and chews it. Well, they're ingesting a heavy dosage of phthalates. This stuff can be market drivers. Kaiser just let a contract to a carpet company, a multi-million dollar contract, to install a new PVC free line of carpets in their buildings. And so there are businesses, as much as this is a business risk for companies to get behind the curve, there's a lot of competitive advantage for companies that get ahead of the curve on green chemistry and safer products. And those types of things correspond to advantage for investors that see that coming.
I understand there are several key votes coming up pretty quickly here by shareholders scheduled to actually discuss some of the more familiar manufacturers such as Apple Computers and Hasbro Toys.
That's right. There are a lot of votes coming up, and it follows last year. There's been a lot of growth. I mean, one way you can measure the growth of investor concern on this is 3 or 4 years ago, I think there were about three health and toxics-related shareholder resolutions, and over the last couple of years, we've seen 17 and 13 in this year alone. I mean, just to back up a second, for folks who aren't familiar with it, what a shareholder resolution is when an investor gets to vote on issues before a company. I mean, one way an investor can vote is say, hey, I don't like this stock, I'm going to sell it. But in a lot of cases, you like a company, you think it's profitable, you think it has good management, and you invest in management, but you have an issue you want to raise.
And that's
the
best place to do it as an insider, correct?
Yeah, that's right. As a share owner, you're part owner of a company, and it's a way that a share owner can put an issue out, tell management, we think this is important, we think this is a financial driver for the company, and we want to put it out there, and we want to see if other investors agree with us. And when the investors speak collectively, it's a powerful voice.
I mean, Tim?
Last year, I'll get to this year in a second, but just to let you know, I mean, last year, after some of the shareholder resolutions that got put out, there was a shareholder resolution for Whole Foods Market about these phthalates, these plasticizers in baby bottles. Well, Whole Foods just said, hey, we don't want that in our stores, and they pulled them from their shelves.
Right, we covered that. Yeah, we've been speaking with Tim Little with the Rose Foundation talking about a critical new report called The Fiduciary Guide to Toxic Chemical Risk, how shareholders can get involved and, in fact, are making a difference where it matters most. That does it for this edition of EcoTalk. We'll see you next time.